What's up, Illini? I'm Peyton Wessner, and welcome back to ISN Now, the official podcast of Illini Sports Night. Hey, it's episode 3, and I haven't been kicked off the air yet. I'd say that's a pretty good sign. In all seriousness, I hope all is very well with you and your family during this time, and I appreciate you spending your Tuesdays and Fridays with us, one interview at a time. Today's conversation is one I've really been looking forward to sharing with you. For full disclosure, I caught up with this individual on April 2nd, which is really important to note in this ever-changing landscape. So, this was actually a couple days after the NCAA's ruling, which granted all spring sports athletes an extra year of eligibility. We'll talk about that and much more, but let's go ahead and welcome him in, shall we? He's led the Fighting Illini to the NCAA tournament every season he's been the head coach, and if his team's 2-0 start to Big Ten play is any indication, Illinois was going to return to the tournament for a 15th straight season. It's the head coach of men's tennis, Brad Dancer. Coach, thank you very much for your time today. How are you?
I'm hanging in there, kind of like everyone else. Interesting times, but appreciate you having me on this morning, Peyton.
Of course, I have to ask off the top, how are you, your wife, and your four sons doing at this time? Like you said, a very unusual time it is. How's everyone doing?
We're doing great. We're actually down in Florida at the moment. So my wife, right before everything hit, came down here for spring break with my family. My parents winter down here. My brother lives down here. And so kind of once we got everything situated in Illinois, I came down to join them, and then it's one of those things where just, we're not sure about when to come back and how to come back to Illinois. So it's been a unique time for us, but we've tried to be outside as much as we can down here. So, we're doing our thing, but trying to figure out how to work and how to family time and I'm a teacher now as well. All of a sudden, and I'm not a very good one, I'm finding out. So,
well, I know myself, I was considering to go to spring break. I have family in Orlando. And I know yesterday, I think the governor of Florida actually issued a stay-at-home order through April 30th. So I guess with that in mind, it can't be a normal feeling for it to be April and there to be no tennis right now. Despite the fact, how have you been spending your time away from the courts?
Yeah, so again, I've been getting out every morning and getting some exercise and trying to keep a ritual with that. And then a lot of it, it'll be an interesting time now as we move forward, because it seems like with the NCAA stuff and the eligibility and trying to navigate through that has been interesting, and trying to zigzag. Now that we've got a ruling, now that we sort of know where that is, and you've got this, the dead period was just extended through May 31st in terms of recruiting. It's really going to be an interesting time for us now. I mean, it's we can call recruits, so we're doing that. We can strategize about how we want to move the program forward. But the reality is, I just got a phone with Marcos, my associate, and, every strategy we put in place is sort of upended within the next 48 hours with a new piece of information. So a lot of flexibility and just trying to stay on our toes, I think, as much as we can.
You mentioned the flexibility. I know the term a lot of people have used about this COVID-19 situation is the word fluid. And with the decision by the NCAA ruling all spring sports athletes to be given an extra year of eligibility, you kind of alluded to it. For every coach and student athlete, the situation is very different, and it could lead to roster shuffling and a change of career plans for the student athletes. What was your feelings and thoughts upon hearing this news?
It's funny, and everything I say to the people I've talked with is, please don't hold me to anything, because it's like you have an opinion one day, and then the news that happens over the next 48 hours sort of completely changes your opinion. And so at the moment, I think that Josh and our administration handled this process really well. I think they had a voice of reason in terms of what they thought was going to happen, and then from there we've had to adapt to maybe what the NCAA has said. I think they've supported our student athletes, which is fantastic. They've done that. Now, as we all know and have read, it creates an almost countless number of variables and scenarios that are going to come up immediately, and then particularly, in the coming years, in the next two to four years after that, in terms of, like you said, with rosters and so forth. So it's going to be a lot of continuing dialogue with student athletes, with parents about, how we're going to do things. There's a lot of guys that sort of we had four seniors on our team this year that, I think people thought, oh, I'm going to move into those playing opportunities, and there's a chance that maybe even all of those guys would come back. And so it's just a lot of continuing dialogue, worry, and then you've got the junior class in high school that now seems to be the one class that's going to get squeezed from an equivalency standpoint in terms of the opportunities available to them. So it's talking to a lot of those juniors about things. It's just a lot of conversations every day. And again, at the same time, we don't have answers for a lot of the questions that are coming up.
I know in the teleconference series with other coaches, whether it's Brad Underwood, the coach of men's basketball, or Lovie Smith, football head coach, they're talking about they're doing Zoom meetings. I know a lot of students are having to do that for their classes. Has that been a way to get everyone together and to see your student athletes and just be able to talk to guys, whether it's as a group or one-on-one? I mean, who would have thought Zoom would become such a normal term in 2020? I didn't even know what Zoom was last year.
I didn't know what Zoom was 3 weeks ago, and I think I've used it almost every day, over the past couple of weeks. And so it's something that, we've had a couple of team meetings on Zoom, and it becomes a little bit more of a comedy hour more than anything else. I mean, I think the guys just miss each other, and you can see it's kind of fun to get them on there and get the banter going. And hopefully Zoom's not recording any of these meetings, because, they're just not around each other. So I think they get going, and all the teasing and everything else starts up again. But it's been fun to connect with the guys that way. You can see how much they're missing each other. We look forward to a time that we can be back together. I think one of the things that's come out of this is, man, I got to appreciate all those times that we do get to have with the guys and coaching, and we're fortunate to be in the profession we are.
You mentioned the little things. I think you even said off the top of our conversation, you become a teacher. Are you teaching your sons with their classes that are going through?
If you can call it that. My wife, sometimes I'll roll my eyes at my wife when she does something. I think she's rolled her eyes at me about 100 times just in the last few days. So my wife is a teacher. That's what she does, and she's great at it. You can just see the difference in how much better she is than I am at just understanding the tempo and the flow of how the learning's supposed to go. And I'm pushing when I should be waiting, and then I'm waiting when I should be pushing, and I just don't know the flow of those things. So it's nice to have an expert in the house teaching me and leading the way a little bit.
Obviously, as the head coach of men's tennis, you had several seniors on the team this spring, including Alex Kovacevic and Zeke Clark. What has your conversations been like with these student athletes who now have a big decision to make, one that wasn't afforded to winter sports athletes, but has been afforded to them?
So, and it's interesting. The conversation obviously goes to the seniors on our team, but it also goes to the underclassmen because, I'll give you a quick scenario. We've got guys, Lucas Horvay and Alex Banchilla are both bright kids. They both brought in some college credit coming into Illinois. And then they both redshirted for a semester as freshmen. And then they just played a whole year, that year of eligibility is going to be returning. So this fall, should school start up again this fall, they'll be close to starting their junior year of college, and they'll be beginning their 4 years of eligibility, if that makes sense. So, it's not just the seniors. You're talking about those guys are in a drastic different how do you even equate that in your head to be that far ahead in school? And then, do you go for a master's? Do you say, hey, I'd rather just play a couple of years and then get on my life, graduate from college, get on my life? So these are decisions that you can imagine. I don't think anybody on our team, seniors or not, is going to decide right now, hey, this is what I'm going to do. I think, for us, I think the guys on our team love the experience of playing for Illinois tennis. So I think they've all got an interest in coming back and playing potentially, but they've got to work that through with their parents. A couple of them have job opportunities lined up. So navigating that whole aspect, I think, is really critical. And then just figuring out, as I've said to all of them, we're not going to hold anybody doing anything. We'll support them in anything they want to do. But particularly with our seniors, we're going to welcome back anyone that wants to come back, because we just got a great bunch.
We have talked about in our past conversations about Zeke, and I've asked you about what he's meant to this program. For someone who may not know, what has Zeke Clark brought to your teams these past 4 years?
Well, and it's funny, I've been dreading, you dread every senior banquet as a coach because it's emotional and so forth. But this particular class has been, I start thinking months away of what I might say, and I get little tears in my eyes and stuff. And so it's kind of like, now let's just postpone potentially a whole nother year of agony, you know, impending agony for me. But, you know, you look at Zeke, and he is, and we've had, needless to say, some phenomenal, phenomenal individuals, you know, come through our program. But there's a uniqueness to Zeke in his ability to connect with all facets of people, you know, whether it's little tiny kids, whether it's old adults. I think everybody in, sees, you know, sees something in Zeke that, they want to have in something themselves. And it's the energy, the positivity, the passion, the effort. You know, everybody looks at that and appreciates Zeke, you know, from a competitor. But then our teammates, you can imagine, they just appreciate it all day long, every day. He never stops bringing it. So it's literally like having, you know, an Energizer bunny at your practice every single day, and there's never been a day off, not one, ever, in 4 years. And so you can just imagine what that does in terms of uplifting the attitudes, the spirit, the effort, the competitiveness across the board on our team every single day.
Oh, that's something that I picked up on a lot this season. Maybe it was just because this is the first season I've covered your team. Zeke, he brings such a great enthusiasm and intensity. When he's playing, obviously, he's fiery, he's passionate. But then when his singles contest is over, he's over cheering on the other guys, really bringing uplifting spirits when maybe a game didn't go their way or a set. He's there to really uplift morale and help that guy get maybe their head back in the game after losing a close game or a close set.
Yeah, I think I'll be honest with you. I think one of the things that happens is when people don't know Zeke that well, they see it as disingenuous. You know, they sort of look at like nobody can just be that on all the time. You know, there must be a bad side to him or something. And then it's the people that sort of get to spend a lot of time around Zeke and realize that it doesn't shut off ever. Then it's like they become just these crazy fanatics of Zeke. You know, we've got some boosters around our program, you know, and people that support it that have now spent, you know, a significant amount of time around him. And they just, you know, they shake their head just like I do. Like, this guy can do anything he wants with his life, and he's going to be so impactful. You know, that is funny because, you know, you wonder where can somebody like Zeke Clark, you know, be the most impactful, and Zeke wants to have a great professional career. We're going to support that everywhere we can. But I keep thinking at some point in Zeke's life, if he was in education and impacting, you know, young high school or middle school kids, you would talk about, you know, this would be somebody that little, you know, 50 years from now, every one of his students would probably say, this guy, you know, changed my life.
Oh, without a doubt. He would have such an impact for the next generation, whether it's at the middle school level, the high school level. Switching gears a little bit, I'm joined by Brad Dancer, the head coach of men's tennis for the University of Illinois, the Fighting Illini. Just as important to your team's success has been Alex Kovacevic. He was an All-American last year. What has he meant to this program and all the success he's had individually, both with the Fighting Illini as well as gearing towards his professional career?
He's such a great person, and I think that, you know, Kobe's a little bit misunderstood because he's got this sort of laid-back personality and has always kind of come across as you know, the cool guy. And the reality is Kobe's passion for the team is right up there with Zeke and everyone else. I mean, he cares so much about Illinois tennis and how our team is doing that, you know, I think sometimes it's a detriment to him. Like, he just gets caught up when we play team matches. He gets caught up in the team and he loses focus on what's happening in his individual matches. But, you know, it's been fun to watch his growth as a young man and his maturation in terms of becoming sort of his own man. And I think that's a big thing for him. He's had tremendous parents in terms of how they've provided discipline and structure for him. And so coming to school and branching on his own, I think, was difficult for him at first. But you're just watching that evolution and that progress for him of him sort of becoming his own man. And it's been fun to watch. And needless to say, from a tennis aesthetic standpoint, I think that's the one thing our crowd loves to watch Kova, because as a player, you know, he's a little bit like Federer. He's sort of beautiful to watch. And so there's this, you've got Zeke who's out there and by the time he's 20 minutes in his match, there's blood over here. There's all these other things. You look over at Kova and it looks like he hasn't even broken a sweat yet, you know, and he's hit all these winners and stuff. So sort of the yin and the yang. And I think our fans really appreciate both of these guys. But I think everybody underestimates Kova's impact on his team, because Kova, deep down, is a great, great person. He cares a lot about other people, and he cares a ton about Illinois tennis. And so that's maybe not as evident to the outside people, and just in terms of how much Kova's involved in the dynamics of the team.
Yin and Yang, I think that's a great way to put it when you have Zeke at court three and Kova at court one, right? Right side by side, both having very different aesthetics to their game, but just as successful. Brad, we'll get you out on this. What does the future look like with this situation? Obviously, you're in Florida. I would assume a lot of your players have spread away from the University of Illinois, away from campus. What does the future look like in terms of a strength and conditioning standpoint, as well as hopefully getting everyone back in there once all this ends?
And it's one of the things we talked about, just yesterday on the team meeting. Is, I'm not a huge – our strength staff done a great job of sort of supplying some workouts and things, but there's a little bit of – it's hard to sort of just – oh, I'm going to prepare this for, I might play 3 months from now, what am I going to prepare? And so it's a little bit more, I feel like what we talk about, it's a great time to sort of just form your habits. What kind of habits do you have? And I talked a little bit about just my personal thing. I'm getting up and getting some fitness in every morning. I think our guys need to be doing that. It keeps you healthy, just healthy, number one. And then number two, it gets your mind healthy in the right place, that you're establishing some discipline yourself. So more of those things, just about the self-discipline and keeping some rituals and some regiment to your life during a time when there's just this, all this, we talked about the fluidity and the flowing and the adapting all the time. That's great, but I think you've got to have some, a little bit of routine. And the one thing that's great for them right now is they, and I thought this was a fantastic job by Illinois. They just said, hey, if your class meets, Monday, Wednesday, Friday from 9 to 11, it's going to continue to meet from 9 to 11 during that time. So our guys that have, classes, it's been tough for me to schedule meetings because, guys, just like it is back during normal times, it's hard to get everyone together because of the different class schedules. So that's been a positive, that I think the guys are held accountable to classes. But, at some point, and again, nobody knows when, but I can't wait to get this team back together, get physically training together, get hitting balls, and then be looking forward to hopefully whatever competitions we might be able to play.
Absolutely. Well, Coach, thank you so much for your time. Really appreciate your insight and perspective, and wish you and your family nothing but the best. Try to stay warm down in Florida. I think the temperature is probably a little warmer down in Florida than it is in Illinois, and hopefully you can at least enjoy that, whether it's just a walk around the block, whatever it may be. And very appreciative for your time. Thank you so much.
Peyton, thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
There he is, Brad Dancer, and what a refreshing perspective. I really enjoyed how he and his coaching staff are in full support of their student athletes and whatever their decision may be relative to eligibility. This affects each and every student athlete very differently. Consider credit hours, consider job prospects, consider how the person's future may not necessarily be in that sport professionally. A great mindset. And I really love to hear it. If you love listening to this podcast, please make sure to rate, review, and subscribe to ISN Now on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. If you are watching the video version on YouTube, don't be a stranger. Do the same for Illini Sports Night over there. As for me, you can give me a follow on Twitter at PC Wessner, WESNER. I tweet quite often, and I'm always down for a conversation. What's on tap for later in the week? Well, I'm going to keep it a little bit mysterious here, my friends. The conversation is scheduled. I have enjoyed my digital correspondence with this individual. Whoever could it be? Well, his athletic credentials cannot be overlooked, and I cannot wait to chop it up about my favorite amateur sport. If you know me, I also consider it my favorite professional sport, although they look a little different in comparison to one another. Oops, I may have just gave it away.